Series today, and I know there was I think it was last spring, we did a series on Wednesday night in our WOW service. It was a video series with Max Lucado called Traveling Light. That's not what this is about. He was looking at Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. We're just going to be looking at some things here. This is a season that is kind of interesting in a lot of ways. One of the things that we're looking forward to at Christmas is that our whole family is going to get together during that week, and we'll all be at the same place at the same time for about one day because of the time schedules that everybody has to come and go. But that's going to be good. But our son told us, and talking with him about a week ago, he said, if we come, I could stay a little extra if you want me to help clean out the house. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. He goes, yeah, there's a lot of stuff you've got that we could sell. I said, that sounds good. And then he began to give me a list of all my stuff. I thought, what about your mom's stuff? Well, my stuff's more valuable to me. But it was just kind of strange. But I started thinking about this, and it's something that we've been talking about. I had put together the thoughts, and were it not for the weather, I had thought I would have my own Black Friday garage sale. Because we got a pile of stuff. We were sorting earlier in the near the end of the summer into the fall. We were trying to sort stuff so we could figure out how to get out. So it was going to be a yard sale at that time, but with the cold weather. But I just thought that would be something that might work. I had people, whenever I mentioned it to them, they said, that's a good idea. I'd much rather go to a yard sale or a garage sale than I would out to these stores and everything. I thought it'd be a way to get rid of things because we know we've got too much stuff. Not all of it in our house is ours. That's why whenever the kids were talking about it at Thanksgiving, about how they're going to get to help us get rid of this, part of us are thinking, that's good, you'll get rid of the stuff we have of yours. That sounds great. All those boxes about acupuncture that are up there, we don't need those. That'll be super. Elijah, you've got tennis shoes in the garage and a punching bag. You know, and that'd be great. Take it home. Although I think he's going to end up leaving at our house. But still, that's what they've... So I'm thinking it's kind of good. But that's not always easy for us because we tend to accumulate a lot of things in our lives. And I don't just mean things. I mean, we tend to accumulate a lot of stuff. We can accumulate bitterness. We can accumulate anger, hurts. Sometimes it's like we collect those up and we just hold on to them like we do with the things that are somewhere in our garage. They're there, and whenever we see them, we remind it, and we just kind of hold on to that. So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about, in this season, where Jesus came to free us from the burden of sin, we're going to talk about how God can free us from some things and allow us to travel lighter in life. We don't have to carry the things we carry. And whenever I went to Kenya this past summer, I wasn't sure. I had not been out of the country like this in quite some time. And so everybody kept telling me, realize the mission we were going to, realize half the luggage might get lost. Well, that's not good. So I guess I need to make sure I take two bags, pack half my stuff in here, half my stuff in here, maybe a little more than half of what I was going to take now, just in case I lose this one, or I lose the other. And so it's like I just kept thinking, man, I've got too much. Plus, I had a stack of construction paper for the things we were going to be doing with the students of the school we were going to be working with. I had all kinds of different crafts, all kinds of things that it was coming back. It was so much nicer to be able to pack some stuff in the other suitcase that I had. But it's hard sometimes. I don't know how you are whenever it comes to traveling. Maybe you are able to take just a few things and you're good. Personally, I cannot take a small bag if I have to take another pair of shoes. You put a size 14 shoe in a backpack, you're full. That's just the way it is. You know, you put them in a suitcase, you don't have much room for anything else. But in life, there are often things we carry with us we don't need to hold on to. So next week, we're going to talk about letting go of distractions. We're going to talk about letting go of bitterness. We're going to talk about letting go of control, which there's a chance some of you might want to skip that week because you don't want to hear about your control issues. And there are spouses sitting next to them right now that are afraid to even look at their spouse because they know there might be some problems from that. But at the same time, we want to talk about letting go today of the stuff that weighs us down. And you'll see in your notes, I put at the very top there, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Okay, I'm going to say that again. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Our culture reflects the very first lie that humanity succumbed to. I mean, you know the story of Adam and Eve. They're in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, you see the fall. And it's one of those cases where they had this incredible garden where they could go anywhere in the garden. Now, within the Hebrew, it's not just don't eat off that fruit. The idea was stay away from those trees so that you won't be tempted to eat of those fruit. But it just happened that Adam and Eve went to those trees that they weren't supposed to eat from, and suddenly Satan tempted them. I mean, they could enjoy so much in paradise. I mean, it's kind of like you can go and you can live in Disneyland, the happiest place in the world, but don't go to It's a Small World. It's the longest line, and it is a song that you can't get out of your head. You can do anything in Disneyland. You can do anything in Disney World, but don't do that. So where do we tend to find ourselves? Drifting closer to It's a Small World. That's what happened. Adam and Eve had this entire paradise, and the one place they end up is by the trees they weren't supposed to really be around. They became tempted. They could eat the fruit of any tree. They could eat the fruit off the apple tree. They could eat the fruit off of the orange tree. They could eat the fruit off of the pumpkin tree. They could eat the fruit. You don't want to be under that whenever it comes autumn time. But I mean, you could eat all this kind of stuff, except for the fruit from this one tree. And so what did Satan do? Did God really say this? You could become like, don't you want more from your life? You're living in paradise, but don't you want more from your life? Don't. And that's one of the things that we struggle with. I mean, there are a lot of things that there are the majority of things that will truly make you happy, fulfilled, and complete are not out there somewhere. They're in here, available to us here. But in our society, it says more is better. I don't know about you, but I've hated looking at my email this week. I mean, I have got every day I get 4 emails from Old Navy about everything that's on sale, and it's the same thing, a special for the day. I get stuff from Penny's, I get stuff from Dill, I get stuff from Walmart, I get stuff from Target, I get stuff from all kinds of places about how they have specials, and I need to get in there quickly because it's only good for, and so you need to, and all this kind of stuff, just even with churches or ministries, Black Friday sale, we're extending it, and all this other stuff. There's always this need. Oh, this is what you need. You need this. You need this. We all know if $1 is good, $2 is better. If one car is good, 2 are better. Unless you're a Dally or Amy. But you'll see on the prayer request why that fits with Amy. But, you know, if one vacation is good, 2 would be even better. If one child is good, 4 is enough. From personal experience, I would say. We live in a society that embraces the idea of binging. Just take in all that you can. You can turn on Netflix, or, well, Disney Plus doesn't have it set up this way, but you can turn on Netflix and other places and you can watch an entire season of a show in just one day of your life that you have to commit completely to that. But that's where you just take it all in. Get all you can. It's like going to the buffet. As my mom, she loved to take us whenever we went to Joplin. We always went to the same buffet. She called it the Chinese food place. It's called Golden Corral. But we would go there, you know, and I always felt guilty because I left, and I know I could have eaten more. It's all you can eat, so have I broken down the social contract with this? But that's it. Go in, get all that you want. Thanksgiving. We talked about this last week, about how there's leftovers. We tried to be careful, but we have so much food still in our refrigerator. But we know Christmas, we've got some great food for Christmas. Oh, it depends if you scrape it the right way. But anyway, you know, I mean, it's kind of like we try to get as much as we can. If something a little bit is good, we want more and more and more. It says in Ecclesiastes 4:6, better, I'd stop there for a second, the word better. What does that mean? It means this is what is preferred over other things. Okay? Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I think there's a lot to recognize that. It's better to have less of what doesn't cause problems than to have more with all the other problems. At our house, we joke around a lot about Publisher's Clearinghouse. And I shared with you a couple years ago, I did win Publisher's Clearinghouse. They sent me a check for $1. I have a picture of it just to prove I won Publisher's Clearinghouse. So whenever you, if you ever see that and it says, we've had 200 winners in Colorado, I'm one of those. They spent $200 to get that figure, I guess. I don't know. But there, if you won that, think of all the issues that you have to go through. Because you suddenly have more. And even though more seems better, it brings with it trouble. It brings with it hardship and stress. Your life is too valuable to constantly be out trying to get more handfuls of stuff. Your life is worth more than all those things you're going to try to grab. And it's important that we recognize what's truly important in life. In Luke chapter 12, he tells everybody, watch out. I'll stop there for a second because I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Be on your guard. I mean, be careful. Watch out. Goes on to say, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Why? Because it slips in so quickly and easily. There is an intensity to this warning. It's not just be on your guard, it's watch out and be on your guard. Be vigilant in trying to make sure that you do not allow yourself to get into this thing of desiring more and more and more that we would call greed, even though we don't call it that because that sounds so bad. We're just trying to get the best deals we can. We have to be careful. We have to be careful in what we are desiring because there's always something lurking around the corner that could end up costing you a lot. And I'm not talking about financially, spiritually, in your relationship with God. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand we need to watch out and be careful and be vigilant to guard against any form of greed. The desire for more. He goes on to say, and I'll kind of personalize this, my life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Your life doesn't exist in the abundance of possessions. Your life should not be about all your stuff. You are not what you have. There are so many interesting things about how people perceive their identity in America today and how they perceive in that identity their value. And so often, even though we try not to say it, there are people that we know who their identity is partially built on what they own, what they drive, where they live, what they wear, what they do for a living. That's how they see themselves, and they miss out on the greater joy. And while our world is constantly telling us, get ready to spend money, you need to buy gifts for your kids, you need to look through all these things, you need to, every commercial, every ad, every post, every message, every email, all these things are constantly trying to get us to want more, but God here is shouting the opposite. Watch out. Be on your guard that you don't get caught up in greed. What you don't have is what you have lived without. Years ago, back whenever I was in college, I can remember Tony Campolo came to our campus and he was speaking in the chapel service one day, and he made this illustration, which I think has some truth. He said, does anybody really need a microwave? They were still new in that day. And I understand. Does anybody really need a microwave? He said, do you really need to have a potato that cooks in 5 minutes rather than putting it in the oven? See, part of that is because there's a speed. We want to get things done. Why? Because we've got other things we need to do. And we miss out on things at times because we're constantly wanting something fast. There are things in your life right now that you lived without for years. I mean, I can remember whenever my family got its first cell phone. We didn't have a cell phone for most of my life. Now, that's hard for some people to believe. I can remember whenever the church that my dad was ministering at gave us a color TV for my brother John, who had cerebral palsy, so that he could watch color TV. And I can still remember for years growing up watching black and white TV. My grandparents even had one of those things that you would put on your screen that had green at the bottom, blue on the top, so you would have black and white TV with color applied. If it was a close-up of someone's face, it didn't look good. They had a green beard and blue hair, which I guess that's kind of like today. Everything in our culture tells us that we need and should want more. But we should find everything we need, as Peter puts it in 2 Peter, God's given us everything we need for life and godliness. There are things that people will try to convince you that you should need, but it's more about wants than it is about needs. We can live much more simply than we do. And the lie that gets told is that if you have this, you will be happier, you'll be more fulfilled, you'll be more joyful, you'll be cool, you'll fit in, you'll feel better about yourself, you'll be significant. If you have this, if you have that, if you have a house like Joanne Gaines, if you have these situations, then you're going to be much happier with your life if you have more. But the more you have, the less you have the ability to enjoy it. What if the stuff you have is robbing you of the life you have? What if all that stuff is keeping you from what God wants you to do? The church we lived at whenever we were in Oklahoma, there was an elder there, and he and his wife, they had committed to trying to pay off all of their debt. And they were able to accomplish that because their goal was they wanted to pay off all their debt so that then they would be open to wherever God was going to take them. And it worked out that while we were there, they were able to pay off all their debt. They were celebrating that, and it was great. And then about 3 weeks later, Cookston Hills Children's Home, which had three or four different locations where they would take in children that the courts would assign them to try to help them deal with issues in their life, ask them to come and work for them. And it was kind of like, well, this is completely, we talked about doing what God wanted us to do. This really wasn't what we were thinking. But they ended up going there. What are your bills keeping you from doing? Do they keep you from helping people? From being generous? Because you've always got to think about the bills that are going to be due?
What if what you have is keeping you from the life you want? Sometimes we get caught up in some of the strangest things. It's not unusual at Christmas time. I've seen this with all my kids and with my grandkids. You'll get them, they'll say, I want this, I want this, I want this. You'll get them that special gift. They'll open it up and they'll play with the box. You know, and they're happy with that. But a lot of us forget you can play with the box that you've got. So, I'm just going to try to share three quick things that will help in this idea of traveling light. Number one, throw things out. This is about, remember we talked about one handful versus two handfuls? It's better to have one handful. Well, this is one handful living. Throw out stuff as if your life depends on it. Because in some cases, it may. Don't hold on to things. Your life does not consist because and find joy in all the things that you have. There may be things in your house, I know there are in mine, that you don't even know they're there. Whenever we go into the garage and we start cleaning things up, it's kind of like, oh, there that is. I forgot we had that. I'm so glad we found it. And then we put it in a box and we forget about it again. You know, it's not just about decluttering. You know, it's not just about finding the right feng shui in your home or in your life. It's not about decluttering, it's about de-owning. Getting rid of what you don't need. Owning less makes it much better to organize more. If you don't have as much to organize, doesn't take as long, doesn't get as frustrating, doesn't get as tiring. But it's hard because we always seem to want more. Even Jesus experienced. The Gospels tell us about how he met a young man. And he's called, we don't even know his name. All we know him is by his adjectives. A rich young ruler. He doesn't even have a name. And in many ways we could say, perhaps in some ways that's like us. But in Matthew 19, you know, he comes to Jesus and he calls him good teacher. Yesterday as we were decorating the tree, somebody said, does that look good? And I said, no, there are none good but the Father. To which they looked at me. That's what Jesus says in this passage, because this rich young ruler, this adjective man, comes up to Jesus and he says, you know, good teacher. And Jesus says, time out, only the Father is good. Recognize, because this young man had a problem with what was good and what was better. So he came to him and said, you know, he wanted to understand what Jesus was teaching. Jesus, you know, he said, and just, well, like, follow the commands. I've been keeping all of those. Spiritually, I'm on the top of the game. I mean, look at me. I am a rich, I am a young, I am a ruler who has been following all the precepts of God. How can you top this? Jesus, what should I do? Realize that with all these things, much like our society today, this was someone who was successful. He was wealthy. He was young. He could spend, I mean, he had a great future. He had authority and power, which so many people crave. And he was right before God. That's great. That's fantastic. And yet, Jesus said, you want to know how to truly be close to God? Sell everything you have and give the money you make to the poor. Then you can follow me. Then you'll have treasure in heaven if you're willing to let go of what doesn't matter. As my son was talking to me about this visit, whenever he's going to help us get rid of all my stuff, one of the things he said was, most of the stuff you've got in your house will not get you to heaven. That's true. Most of the stuff in your house will not get you to heaven. So let me ask you, do you really need it? If it's not helping you get closer to God and closer to heaven, do you really need that? I've had friends, whenever I was in college, after they graduated, they had a family, and I worked with him at church camp. One of the things they had one TV that they kept in a closet. They only pulled it out when there was something significant on TV
Otherwise, they didn't want their kids watching TV. Well, how can you do that? I mean, kids have got to have screens. It'd be like saying, how can we go without a cell phone? It's possible. This young man didn't want to get rid of it, and so it says in Matthew 19:22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. I want to be close to you, Jesus. I want to follow you, but I don't want to get rid of my stuff. Which basically tells you that became more important. You never know what idols you have until Jesus asks you to give them up. You'll never know how important things are to you, how you have given something more importance than you should until Jesus asks you to give it up. And most of the time we'll rationalize it away and say, well, Jesus didn't want me to give it up. That's not important to Jesus. The problem is it's too important to us. And there's two main reasons why we hold on to stuff. First one is fear. I remember years ago, about, I think it was Regis Philbin was on TV on his television show with Kathleen Lee Gifford, which they're not on that show anymore. But he was talking about growing up in the Depression. He was always taught you hold on to things. And that if you grew up in the Depression, that makes sense. Because you did want to have that stuff available in some ways. But there are so many times we are afraid to get rid of something because we might need it. Even though we haven't needed it for a long time. Whenever we had the fire in the bushes outside of our porch and I had to cut down all this stuff, there was a part of me that was thinking, you know, this might be a good time to get a chainsaw. I can't lop some of these, are big. I don't have a chainsaw. I once lived in a house where we had about 16 trees in our yard. You know, it was, and I can remember having a saw that, you know, a chainsaw. Everybody needs a chainsaw. Doesn't every man need more power tools? I think that's written somewhere in Hezekiah in the Bible. And so I was thinking, you know, I looked at Harbor Freight and it's like, oh, I could, they, it's not a bad deal. It's $40. It's more than what I want to spend, but then I'd have a chainsaw. I need one right now, and who knows when I might need one again. Well, I appreciate Bob Rash. Let me borrow his. I didn't break it too bad. But I was able to cut some of those big branches. I still don't have a chainsaw. Because I understand if I bought a chainsaw, after I used it once, it would sit in my garage. Because I really don't have much in the way of trees in my yard now. So I don't really need it. But I might. Maybe my kids will want this someday. I still have a comic book collection that my kids have fought over who gets that when I die. Because of the sentiment. No, it's because they're thinking this is money. They don't understand it's collectible, so collectibles, the market for that is real. But they might want it. I don't want to waste this stuff. Why would I just throw it out? Or give it away. I could sell it to somebody else. Fear becomes a big part of that. I mean, do you have, how many dishes do you have in your cupboard? How many do you use? Well, I've got special dishes. I've got my Christmas dishes. I've got my Thanksgiving dishes. I've got my 4th of July dishes. I like to pull them out. It's all the stuff that we might use once a year. How many of you still have VHS tapes in your home? Okay, now, the other part of this question is this. Do any of you still have a VHS player? Okay, some of you do. People, it's a dead technology. I wouldn't even tell you to go to a DVD. It's like you've got Laserdisc players. I'm sorry, that probably aged everybody. They don't know what that's about. You know, we keep all this stuff. Some of you may have pants that looked like they were inspired by MC Hammer back in the day when you couldn't touch that. You don't wear them anymore. We just hold on to things. Because maybe one day, we need to trust God to provide what we need. And when we're done needing it, we can let go of it. Fear is one thing. The other thing is sentimentality. Well, this has meaning to me. You know, this is kind of special. We were going through, I have in my garage, I have some of my mom's stuff, and there was a cedar chest in there, and it's filled with photo albums. And I was like, what do we do with all these photo albums? My brother was coming, and I thought, we can give them to my brother. He took a few, but we still have a whole lot. And we have not just photo albums, there are plastic bags filled with pictures. I look at them and Lisa says, who's that? And I would say, I don't know. My mom might have known. Right now, she wouldn't know. And there's kind of this, well, should you throw away pictures that belong to your mother who has Alzheimer's? Or do you hold on to those because she did, and that, but she tended to hold on to some strange things anyway. But sometimes there's that sentimentality. It reminds you of something. It's a souvenir of an event. And that's not necessarily bad. I was reading about somebody the other day who was taking all these old photos and they were scanning them into the computer so they would have digital files and they could then get rid of the photos. But we hold on to things. Sometimes, I mean, that we still have a baby book from our first child. And if you look inside that baby book, you'll find a little lock of hair that Lisa cut from the first haircut. And it's taped in there. Now, you might think to yourself, well, why do you keep that? DNA evidence can be very vital. But when you cut it off the end of the hair, it doesn't have the follicle that is required to be able to get DNA evidence. So it doesn't really matter. But it's got you. There are things there. I have one of Elijah's report cards. I'm sentimental about that. Because someday I can show that to Keller and Dawson and say, see how your dad was in school? Don't feel so bad. But there are those sentimental things. But you have those memories. And you don't really need to keep everything. Scan the pictures into a computer and you have them available, even easier to find than you would other places. There are ways to get rid of some of those things. And what's funny is some of those things we keep because they would be valuable to our kids, they're ready to get rid of them. They don't care about them. Don't be afraid to get rid of that. You know, it's one of those things, if God has blessed you with something, thank Him for it. Let it serve its purpose. Once it has served its purpose, let it go. Just let it go. I will not break into song. Just throw things out. Secondly, buy less. I found this to be an intriguing little statistic. 62% of people admit to shopping to cheer themselves up. I know you've never done that. Retail therapy can feel so good. I mean, it's a way of escape. It's a way to be entertained. You find something new, something clean. You get something that has some power to it. And it has a momentary significance because it does. It does help you feel better temporarily. It's like at Christmas, you go out and you buy all these gifts. And you feel great because you've been able to bring smiles to all the people that you love and care about. And then in December, you get this thing in the mail. And it doesn't seem quite so joyful. It's called a bill. For all the things you've charged. It was a good deal. But oftentimes the best deals are things we don't need. I rarely pay retail for anything. If there is a way to get some kind of a coupon or something of that nature, I will have it. And there are times it's like, oh, if I don't spend this $15 discount right now, I'm going to lose a $15 discount.
should I go to the store and get something? I don't need anything. And sometimes it's hard because I'm cheap. And if I can get $15 off of something, there's probably something. No, I've learned. You just kind of let that go. It says in Psalm 119, cause my heart to bow before your words of wisdom and not to the wealth of this world. Help me turn my eyes away from illusions so that I may pursue only that which is true. You should look for the place where life is full of God. And there are a lot of people today who are trying to fill that place up with a lot of junk. So don't be afraid to buy less. Well, what do I get for all my kids? One of the things we've talked about is trying to do more in the way of experiences. Things they'll remember that you can do together. We tried to, with everybody coming in, we're trying to figure out some of those things that we could do. Because it's something like that that they'll remember and often have greater value as time goes by than that toy that they get and break after the second day. Buy less. Thirdly, give more. Now again, whenever I look at this and I planned this out, I thought, well, we have this offering. You all know. One of the things that I would say that is characteristic about this church is that if there is a need, whenever it comes to finances or anything like that, this church has always been willing to rise up and to help in a need. From someone for our congregation, if there's a need, we try to help, and we have risen up to help a lot of people that way. Financially and physically as well. We try to do that within our community. We like to help people. We enjoy that. So why do we need to talk about giving more? Well, again, I think it's important that we live with that sense of life where we're looking for those opportunities. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. There are a lot of people who are living a life that isn't real life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. There are a lot of people that don't really understand life because they don't understand Jesus. There are a lot of people who are buying things and buying things as quickly as they can. We have to be careful. Sometimes it's hard for us to give things away because of the sentimentality, because of the emotions that we attach to those things. But we've got to be careful because those emotions that are attached to things, think about that. You're caring about an inanimate object. When you could care about God and someone else's heart and life and soul. You've got to be careful. Sometimes the littlest things that you can do or give will mean so much. I have a lot of Bibles in my office. They come and they go. Partly because if someone comes and says, you know, do you have a Bible? We've had people come to the church saying, I'd like to have a Bible. I mean, if you think about it, we think, so many of us, well, it's the number one selling book in the history of the world. And yet there are people who have never read a Bible. Right now, Kanye West is working with the American Bible Society because whenever he has what's called his Sunday services, where there's a worship service and he's praising God and glorifying God, and people who come to these, there are people who don't know who God is, don't know who Jesus is. They're coming and he's sharing with them the gospel message. There are people wanting a Bible to know more about what he's talking about because they don't have a Bible. So the American Bible Society is donating Bibles so that they will have them to pass out at these concert worship services that are being held. Sometimes we're afraid to give away something that is But just giving away, think about it, giving away a Bible that you have that you may not even be using in your home, that could change someone's life. It really could. Sometimes giving, even whenever you don't think you can, it means that you know you're going to trust God more than what you have, which is hard for us all. To almost empty your account so you can help and give to somebody in need. Well, that's just ludicrous. But it may be one of the ways that you can glorify God and touch someone's life with God's love. And we used to sing the old song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." If this is not your home, don't be afraid to throw it out. Buy less, give more. It's much easier. I would be more than happy to come to your house and tell you everything you should throw away. It's much easier for me to do it than it is you. But we need to learn how to do that. And I'd be going out finding new outfits so we can take that really good Instagram photo. You know, find time to be with your kids. Find the joy and the peace and the freedom that comes from that. Less of what doesn't matter, and pursuing more of what does. Because life is too valuable. Your life has more value than the newest Apple product. Your life has more value than all those things in your closet. Your life has more value than what's in your garage. Your life has more value because your life was bought at a price of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So that by His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection, your life, that's where the value is. That's where your identity should be at. One handful of life lived without all the worries and cares and anxieties and toils and troubles that come from having more, one good handful of life is worth living for. Don't let the stuff you have keep you from living the life. Two final questions. Are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep? Are you holding on to it, getting a big storage? That's one of the reasons I just said store your heaven. You know, your treasure should be in heaven. We don't have to worry about thieves and moths, and rot and all these things, rust and all these things that'll take place. Because your treasure is accumulating in heaven. Or are you investing in heaven? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your love and Your generosity, for the ways in which You provide for us, some that perhaps we had the opportunity this past week on Thanksgiving to reflect upon all the things that You have shared with us, all the things that You have done. Father, help us. Help us to hold the things we have loosely. Father, help us to be able to be willing to get rid of the things that accumulate and don't give You glory and begin to pull us back from being able to have the freedom that You have given us. Help us to be able to restrain ourselves from buying things we don't need, that we just want on a temporary whim. Father, help us to be willing to help those who need help. Help us to be able to get to a situation where we're not tied down by our bills, that we can't help the people our hearts and our spirit and Your spirit urges us to help because we're afraid of all of what we've already spent in our accumulation. Father, help us to recognize the value that You have given us and of all that You have shared with us. We pray this all in Jesus' name.